everybody, and welcome to the Artists First World Radio Network, home of the best new music you've never heard, and home of the best new talk shows you need to hear. Please don't forget to visit our archives page at www.artistfirst.com, where you can hear all our past shows for free and on demand. You are tuning in to the Dr. Maxine Thompson Show. This show airs every Monday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For more information about this show and listen to past shows for free, please visit artistfirst.com/MaxineThompson.htm. And don't forget to follow Artist First on Twitter. You can find us under the Twitter handle at @artist_first. And now here is your host of the Dr. Maxine Thompson Show, Dr. Maxine Thompson.
Good evening. Thank you for tuning in to the Dr. Maxine Thompson Show. I'm Dr. Maxine Thompson of MaxineThompsonBooks.com and MaxineThompson.com. I'm the author of novel The Ebony Tree, award-winning novel Hostage of Lies, short story collection A Place Called Home, and latest novels L.A. Blues 1 and L.A. latest release sequel is L.A. Blues 2, Slipping into Darkness. I'm also a contributor to best-selling anthologies Secret Lovers, Never Knew Love Like This Before, All in the Family, Proverbs for the People, and Saturday Morning. I have 2 e-books available in the Hush Hush Secrets of Writing Fiction that sell, and another set of e-books that will be coming out shortly that are also part of the Hush Hush Secrets. Tonight's guest is Yvonne Perry. In her latest book, Shifting into Pure Consciousness, Integrating Spiritual Transformation with the Human Experience, author Yvonne Perry shares how she has integrated the accelerated frequencies of several quantum leaps she has taken on her spiritual path. Good evening. How are you, Yvonne?
I'm good. How are you, Maxine?
Oh, I'm great. I'm glad to have you on the show so you can explain your book. It is really deep.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to do that, so thank you.
Okay, well, tell us first of all, tell us about yourself before you get into your book.
Okay, well, I'm an author of Shifting into Pure Consciousness and also a book about being an empath, which is called Whose Stuff Is This? And these two books are my spiritual journey and offer some help to people who are on a spiritual path and who have found some very, like you said, very deep concepts that they have considered, and that the consideration of these concepts have created quite a bit of change in our personal lives as well as our belief systems that have moved us away from the things maybe that we were taught as a child because it didn't align with our experiences. And so we've had to redefine ourselves as spirit beings, and that has taken us on a path. So as far as what I like to do, I am a podcast host of We Are One in Spirit, and that's at weareoneinspirit.com. And in addition to the podcast and writing books, I'm also a coach who offers some personal help for people who are transitioning into their higher self and learning to work with the energies of cosmic accelerated frequencies and working with ascended masters and angels to help the earth and humanity evolve into a higher consciousness.
Well, could you explain how human energy affects the earth?
Okay, well, human energy is what our thoughts and our emotions, our beliefs, emit into what we might call group mind. And this belief system as a whole affects pretty much what happens in our lives personally, as well as what happens in society. When we believe that we are blessed and happy and we project that, we tend to draw people into our lives who are also happy and at calm and at peace. And when we're having a bad day or frustrated, it seems like that's the times when we attract more of the same. So we're learning how important our thoughts are in our own lives and how this then affects Earth energies. Because the Earth is a living, conscious being. A lot of people just think the Earth is just dirt and air and water, but it's much more than that. It's a living, breathing, feeling, and we are able to communicate with that. We are able to communicate with animals. We have people who are very empathic and are able to communicate with animals. We have learned through Dr. Emoto's work that even what we project thoughts and words into water can change the molecular structure and the crystallization of that water. So our thoughts then have power not only to change our own lives, but to affect the earth. And I believe that a lot of the cleansing that the earth is doing right now with tsunamis and earthquakes and just some of the global changes that we're seeing right now is a response, a cleansing response, where the earth is trying to clean up some of the detrimental energy that human consciousness has projected onto her. I mean, we've got a lot of political and social unrest right now and upheaval, and this is affecting the earth, and the earth is responding by trying to rid herself of that.
So. Okay, well, that's interesting. When I think of the tsunamis and the hurricanes, and I mean, we've just had so many unprecedented natural disasters, I also think of man's greed. A lot of this has been with some of the things we've done that set the whole ecosystem off.
Oh, yeah.
Our thoughts as well as the greed, you know, just plundering the earth and...
with no regard to the animals, no regard to the oceans and the fish and what we're doing there and how we're dumping toxic waste and things into the earth and how we've got chemical radiation and nuclear pollution and all kinds of things, and we are tearing down rainforest and over mining and what have you, just stripping the earth bare. And I mean, she's responding to that. Like you said, the greed that we have been subjecting ourselves to, that we have thought as a normal way of life, Spirit is trying to tell us that this is not the way to do it, that we need to reconnect with Mother Earth in order to find our true selves and to really enjoy life on this planet. You know, it's more about not just preserving the Earth for future generations, but enjoying our lifetimes now, knowing that we are consciously evolving and that our what we're doing right now for future generations is affecting us now. It's not something that we're just going to reap later and the following generation will have to deal with it. Oh, I won't be here to have to deal with this. It's more like it is affecting us now, and we need to pay attention to what we're doing and reconnect with the earth.
That's interesting. You know, paradigm to kind of shift when I think so many people only believe in what they can see and feel, and to think spiritually that there is a spiritual realm and how what we do affects the spiritual realm as well. But let's talk about how you published the book and what inspired you to write the book, because I really like your empaths. I can relate that so much, you know, how we feel so deeply. Particularly, I think it's a writing thing, too, that writers tend to feel very deeply, and they don't skim the surface of life.
Right, right. They're such creative beings. They always see deeper. They tend to look under the covers of life and not just take it at face value. That, you know, that creativity, I think, makes us a little more sensitive anyway.
Yes. So how did you evolve from the empath to this book?
Well, the empath book was where people who are very sensitive to energy are learning how to manage energy, and they're understanding new concepts about why they cry when they go to a movie and it's a sad movie, and they feel as if they were already a part of that cast or part of what is going on there. They're very sensitive to energy and emotions around them. Some of them even pick up the illnesses of others because they feel so sympathetic toward others that they don't realize they're picking up this energy, and that's the reason why they are having such turmoil, emotional, mental, physical illnesses and what have you. So the second book is going to take that to a step further. The first book was one that would give us some information about how to deal with that. It's an understanding of what it looks like, it feels like to be an empath. Kind of gets us started down that road to thinking, It's got some great exercises that will help us learn to ground and center our energy, to recognize and feel our own energy so that we can determine when it's our energy we're carrying versus when we picked up something from someone else. So the second book is then going to take it a step further, because in light of what we're looking at with the earth changes, this is a time, and the earth is actually part of a solar system, as you know, and is rotating in its orbit and coming into alignment with the equator of the Milky Way galaxy. And what this is doing is causing the electromagnetic field around the earth to change and to shift, and we're feeling that in our emotions. But what this is doing is pushing things up to the surface that need to be dealt with, some hidden issues, some unresolved emotional traumas and dramas, maybe things that we experienced as a child or even in a former life, are coming up to be healed so that we can, as a humanity, can move into a higher state of awareness, a higher state of consciousness, like what we know that the ascended masters such as Buddha, Jesus, Saint Germain, Babaji, so many others have understood, that we are spirit beings having a human experience and not the other way around, and that we have come here with a divine mission to evolve our souls and to help others do the same, and to care for the planet and learn what we can about ourselves while we're here. So Shifting Into Pure Consciousness, the second book, is going to teach us how to do that, how to become non-resistant and to flow with spirit, to release these things that have been holding us back, whether it's fear-based beliefs, the limiting beliefs, or the trauma from past. We're all just letting it go and letting ourselves be healed and become whole. That's what that book is about. So it evolved naturally from learning about what's wrong and how to get on the path of fixing it, and then taking that to an empowered position on a new level.
Okay. Well, what are some signs of spiritual awakenings? How would a person identify in themselves that they're going through a spiritual awakening and not having a nervous breakdown?
Well, it looks kind of the same, Maxine. That's a good question. Because we're going through such rapid change and so many things are coming up, emotional issues. It's easy to think that we might be bipolar or that we're having some kind of a nervous breakdown, especially if you've had some kind of experiences like I have had with a near-death experience several times in my past, where I've had some close calls and ended up in the hospital and being treated and surgeries and things like that, where when I woke from it, I felt like a different person and felt like, okay, what do I do now? Something has changed within me, and my perception and my perspective on life has changed. The awakening of spiritual gifts resulted from that. And then I've had others, even in writing this book, Shifting Into Pure Consciousness, that have taken me up again, another bump up in energy, another quantum leap, I call them, where you know, some of the symptoms that might be sudden changes in your life, where the things that you used to like, you don't like them anymore. The people that used to be in your life are falling away from you. You are experiencing maybe some decluttering and detoxing of your home, of your body, even your computer, things that you know, that you've had around for a while. You look at it and you're going, why am I keeping this? So you're tossing, you're recycling, you're starting to care for the earth. You may be having an urge to grow your own food. You've got a keen awareness of spirit, maybe some sensations in your body that are different than what you've experienced before. You may be seeing colors or auras around people, plants, animals. You may be able to communicate telepathically in a way like you never have before. There are synchronicities, that where things just seem to fall into place and just out of the blue something happens and you're going, that just couldn't be coincidence. So just a lot of things going on. Some of the anxiety too around releasing those emotional issues, because it's scary to dig up all this stuff that's been hidden, that we've somehow managed to detach from and to dissociate from. It's like spirit saying, no, you know, you're going to have to own that and walk through it and clear it and clean it and let it go so that you can be totally free to move forward. So these are just some of the ascension symptoms. I'm going to list a lot more of those on my blog, as I've got some blog posts set up with ascension tips on how to integrate some of these things, as well as what the symptoms look like and what's been reported to me and in several different forums that I've been participating in, where people are giving us this information of what's occurring for them.
I like the idea of throwing out old things. I've noticed whenever I've thrown out a lot of things, it's like it opens up, well, I hate to say it, it even opens up finances, gates. It's like when you get rid of all these old things that land around your house and reshift the pictures around and do a little feng shui and different things, you see a difference in the energy in your house even.
You sure do. That is so true. My stepson, didn't quite believe me, and I put him to the test. I said, okay, you've got this old car that you've been hanging on to. It doesn't run. It's just sitting in your front yard. It's not doing you a bit of good. Why don't you get rid of it? Oh, I can't get rid of that. It was my mom's car, blah, blah, blah. I said, okay, but let me put you to the test. You want financial abundance in your life, right? Yes. I'm going, then why are you hanging on to the past? Because what you're telling the universe is, this is good enough for me. This is all I want. I don't need anything better. And you're complacent. He says, really? I said, yeah, you've got to make a hole because the universe hates a void, and it will find something to fill it. He sold that truck, and within just a matter of days, financial blessings started coming his way, and he got way more than he thought he was going to get back on his income tax return. Just things started popping into places like that, and he's like, there is something to this, you know. It made a believer of him.
Oh, definitely. One of my biggest jobs I ever got was after I took up my carpet and had hardwood floors and, you know, had the floors varnished underneath the carpet. And I threw out about 20 bags of different things. And I recently did that. And I'm just seeing new opportunities showing up, and money is in a lot more flow and abundance. So it makes a difference when you get it. And there was a speaker years ago, I think it was Ayanna Vincent, who said, if you're not using it, get rid of it.
Let somebody else use it. Why keep it?
Right, and take it to the Goodwill. They have little boxes now where you can throw old things away. And I'm a book collector, but there are certain books I have that I'm never going to read again. So I have to, what I try to do with those, take them to the Goodwill. But the sad thing is, well, not even the sad thing, the good thing for writers is that they have the e-books now. But for people who like to collect books, you know, we're going to always love to print books.
Oh, I do. I spend so many hours at the computer already. I really enjoy taking a book outdoors and just sitting in nature and having that book in my hand, so... But I'm the same with you. When I'm done with the book and I don't think I'm going to read it again, I'm going to give it to somebody, or I'm going to donate it somewhere to a charity, like you said, the Goodwill or whatever, so someone else can enjoy it. Why let it gather dust on my shelf if someone else could use that book and learn something from it?
Yes, and there's still always this sense of mourning when you get rid of things. Because I was thinking, well, maybe I should go back in that garbage because I was going to take those to the Goodwill. And then I said, nope. You know, leave it alone. And those weren't the nicer things that you like to take to the Goodwill, so it needs to stay in the garbage. You know, it's like we become pack rats as we get older. So I'm trying
to get attacked, don't we?
Right. We have all these memories. And so my biggest thing I hold on to now, and they say this is the thing that people find irreplaceable. They have a fire or family photos of my children. And when they all come, and I have a granddaughter visiting, my oldest granddaughter, she'll be 19 in August, and just the looking at the pictures, it was such a sense of healing and restoration for her, because we hadn't seen each other in 7 years. And I think when she saw these pictures, and she said, I don't remember California, she's from Louisiana, but she was here the first 6 years of her life. And as soon as she walked in my house, and she's one who saw angels when she was five, so she's very intuitive anyhow, and she She said, "They have a party here." I said, "You were 1 year old." She said, "Was it in the backyard?" I mean, this house just triggered all these memories because I have an antique stove. I have the same furniture, antique sofa, and I've had the same kind of unique-looking dining room set. I've had it for about almost 40 years. So these, just the things in my house triggered all these memories for her. And then I think that was good for her to know. That, oh, yeah, I do have other family. You know? So we are, what I'm finding, too, when you get on this path, you can heal things within the family. I was talking to my son-in-law about his son who's living with them. And, you know, a 19-year-old in your home, and it's been there a couple of years, and, you know, their young marriage, but he's older, but my daughter, and just that pressure, and I say, don't give up on him. You know, he's an artist now. He's doing a lot. It's the exposure of being here in California. There's no price tag that you can put on exposure. I lived with a white family when I was 16, and I've seen a lot of people who went through a similar trajectory as me, you know, coming from African-American, low-income background, went to college when they had the grants and so forth. But I haven't seen them take the risk and do some of the things that I've done because many of them weren't exposed to the things. I was exposed to what a whole different culture did, from having skis to a lake house, 12, and they weren't rich. They made $20,000, but they had a different, she was an artist, and they had a 12-bedroom house, and we're not talking like mansion, just they lived in Traverse City, which I always call it the Beverly Hills of Michigan, but... Just that experience alone took me, it was no book, it was the fact of being exposed to a different lifestyle. And too many of our kids that live in the inner cities, they've never been to. We went to the aquarium in Long Beach this week, and a lot of them haven't been anything. They haven't even been to the ocean because we have gangs so bad here that sometimes you can't go two blocks over without being in another territory and getting shot. And, you know, and I'd like to see some type of healing. My L.A. Blues series is to try to heal some of this gang violence and drug violence.
Mm-hmm. I love that book. It was great work.
Oh, thank you. And book two is shorter, but it's still, it almost made me afraid. I mean, when we're reading, this is real what we're reading about, people being decapitated and they're on trips in Mexico and being killed, and some people are taking off buses and killed. I mean, this drug war is, I think, one of the biggest menaces that we have in the world now. Because it's international. As I did research, I became afraid almost. So this is nothing to play with. But I do believe that there's a higher good and a higher spirit. It's higher than evil, and there's a spirit of good. And so what you're talking about, it's not like it's something that people have to get on this conscious level to be able to eradicate some of this... eradicate all this evil and cleanse the earth from all the craziness.
Mm-hmm. And we can do a lot to project love and light into the consciousness of those areas, those cities. You've probably witnessed where you've got a group of people together, maybe for a purpose, like a prayer meeting, a Wednesday night prayer meeting or what have you, prayed for somebody and saw them get healed, saw things change, saw a situation turn around. I believe that collectively, if we pray and send love and light into areas like the territories that you're talking about and into the consciousness of these people, at least the light will shine upon them and they'll start to feel. I think they've lost feeling. They've lost consciousness. Mm-hmm. They've detached from who they truly are, and they've become something that they're not. I mean, these are children of God just like we are, and they've forgotten that and did not experience that love. Maybe they came from a really rough background where the only way to find love was through violence. The only way to get attention was to do something really outrageous. But they still have that basic human need for love. And love is an energy. It is a life force, creative energy. And when we consciously send that into areas and just allow spirit to work, it's like a stem cell that knows what to do, where to go, and what to minister in that person's heart or in that area to help shift their consciousness, to help raise the vibration of that area. I believe we're going to see some miracles like that as the earth begins to shift, as humanity begins to shift.
Mm, That's interesting. Do you think that it would help with this global economy, you know, that some 1 minute they say it's getting better, the next it's worse? Do you think that the, you know, collective thought processes and prayers of people could even affect the economy and the job market and the foreclosures and, I mean, you know, even the European market and so forth? Do you think that that would even have an effect on that?
I sure do. I believe that what we're seeing in sending love and light into some of these systems that are greed-based, fear-based, scarcity mindset, I don't have enough, I need this, they're fearful, they don't trust that things can be provided, they don't understand that they are creators of their own path and their own life, they've forgotten how to work with the energy, they don't understand the right use of energy. So as more and more people are being taught these things, it's going to shift, and it may not be pretty to start with. We may have bank failures and stock market failures. Now, we're seeing a lot of uprising in government systems that have been very manipulative and crime. I mean, there's crime in government and big business. We've got medical treatment that is not curing anything. It's treating symptoms and breaking the body into pieces rather than treating it systemically. When you treat one thing and the commercial is more than half of it is the side effects of what this drug is going to do to you. You know, if you take it, it's going to mess this up and this up. Oh, well, we might have fixed the original problem, but here we have more sickness added on to it because we're destroying the rest of the body in the process. So when we get back to these basics of really understanding that we are spirit beings and that we're totally connected and that we cannot operate separate from our God consciousness and from one another and from the earth and from the goodness that earth provides for us, then we're going to see some breakdowns in the pharmaceuticals, in the government, in the economics, in the way we raise food and what we eat, what we put in our bodies. All of these things are going to shift. We're already seeing these things happen. You know, the one thing you cannot trust these days is the stock market and the economy. If you put your faith in that, it's going to fail you. But if you put your faith in a higher power, believing, you know, I know I sound like a Pollyanna, but it's working for me personally, and it's working in the lives of people that I'm teaching these concepts to, where they're getting a hold of the fact that they are conscious creators, that we are manifesting our own reality collectively and individually, and you learn how to work with energy, and you learn the scientific formula behind prayer and understanding what the Lord's Prayer is really teaching us about bringing heaven to earth in this present experience that we're having here, not in some far-off near future, but in our daily experience. We're going to see changes across the board, and everything that's not working, that's not aligned with love, is going to have to fail in order to be rebuilt. It's like you talk about taking those books and selling them or giving them away so that you can have room on your bookshelf for more. Well, that's what's happening with our economies and in the political arena and the medical arena. We're having to see these systems break down and move out in order for something new to be created. Kind of scary to start with. I mean, it doesn't look good, but the end result, I believe, we're going to be very pleased with, and you know, it's going to return us to our roots, to our true spiritual roots.
Mm-hmm. Well, it would be lovely. It makes you think of Revelations, how they describe what the paradise earth would look like.
Mm-hmm. The new heaven, new earth.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, how can a person shed personal and collective structures and belief systems that no longer support the highest good of humanity?
Well, it all starts with our thought life. Whatever we think about is what comes about. So if we're thinking that we have poverty, that we are victims, that we never have enough or what have you, those are the things we're going to continue to manifest. If we think that we deserve to be sick, and if we think we can't be healed, we won't. It's kind of like the placebo effect, you know, in the blind studies where you believe you've got the pill and you believe you've got the help and that you're taking the right thing. A lot of times the body will heal because that person's faith or their thoughts and beliefs influence and affect the body. So I believe that that's the key to it, is getting back to what we think about, what we truly believe, and shifting that inward world shifts our outer reality.
Well, I would hope so. Do you think that this would help with cancer? Because I go to a clinic where they believe in fruit and vegetables as being a good healer for cancer. And, you know, we got a lot of other things that are natural to help with the heart, the kidneys, blood sugar, and some global cardio care. And they have a machine that helps the circulation and pumps the blood throughout your body. But when I listen to the different cancer treatments where they're saying that so many people have come to them when the doctors have just said, you can't make it. We've done all we can do. And they've seen family members die who've gone through the radiation, the chemo, because that's a billion-dollar industry there. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these people have been healed with just using the natural products from the earth. You know, of course, getting away from going on a plant-based diet, coming off of the meat, mm-hmm. dairy products. Mm-hmm. Eggs, different things. Do you think that this type of thought process could help with this pandemic condition we have in the world of cancer? Because I don't remember this many people having breast cancer in my mother's generation either.
Well, what I've done in my research, I found a book called The World Peace Diet by Dr. Will Tuttle, in which he shows the relationship between the contaminated meat and how it is raised and how it is processed and packaged and how it is camouflaged and pumped full of hormones and dyes and everything else and giving it more shelf life and more appealability on the market has contributed greatly to cancer, diabetes, cardiovascular diseases, and other obesity. I mean, we're eating crap foods. We grab a bag of potato chips and white bread and a piece of fried chicken, and we expect to be in good health when we know that those things have been proven to cause some of these illnesses and diseases that are epidemic at this point. I believe that when we return to a plant-based diet, that when we are consciously, especially if you raise your own and you're very conscious about what goes in it and you're treating it not only organically and raising it clean without all of the pesticides and chemicals that are being used so much now and contaminated water sources that are being used to irrigate some of the fields. I mean, when you are conscious about what you put in your body will respond to that. I mean, how can it not? It just makes sense that if you're putting nutrition into the body and giving the body what it needs to fuel itself, it's going to be in better health than if you're pumping it full of a lot of sugar and processed foods and meats that have been contaminated through the entire growing, raising, packaging process. I mean, doesn't it make sense to you that your health would respond to that kind of treatment?
Definitely. What was the name of that book again?
The World Peace Diet. Dr. Will Tuttle, T-U-T-T-L-E.
And Dr. Will Tuttle, The World Peace Diet.
Yeah, highly recommended it. It really shook my world. I've become a conscious eater since February when I got a hold of his book. It totally changed the way I view food. No longer am I going in the kitchen and just, or the grocery store. It doesn't even come in my kitchen anymore. Or going to the grocery store and just picking up whatever's on sale or whatever. You know, I might like this. Instead, it's conscious planning, it's conscious shopping, it's conscious eating, mindful eating. When you're eating, blessing the food, and thankfulness. Thankfulness is a very high vibration. Thanking for the food, and thanking for the Earth Mother for producing the food, because you're eating so many plants and nuts and legumes and grains, natural grains. I've learned how to cook and work with different grains that I've never used before in my life. And I have seen a great improvement in my health, a great improvement in my overall feeling of wellness, mentally, emotionally sharper, clarity, hearing from spirit better. All of these are just benefits from cleaning up the diet, just cleaning up and detoxing the body.
Okay, I plan to get that book.
Yeah, he's got it in audio and in PDF, and I put the audio book in my car and listened to it over, you know, the course of a few weeks, and just it totally revolutionized my way of thinking about food.
Great. Okay, well, I also want to talk about why we send love and light to people.
Oh, that's a good one. Well, we talked a little bit about how those troubled areas and pockets of crime and areas that have been infiltrated with gangs, how that we send love and light, and it acts then, it's like sending them a gift package. Like you get something in the mail and you don't know where it came from, but it's just a wonderful gift. Well, they're going to be, you'll find that when you send love and light to someone, you're not interfering with their own free will and the choices they're making for their life. Instead, you're just giving them an energetic bundle of goodness, of love and light, energy that they can use then to find their own path and to make sense of troubled times or whatever they're going through. So sending love and light is a non-resistant way of not interfering in the processes that another person has set up in order for their soul to learn lessons, but at the same time just giving them a boost of energy to help them make their own decisions about a particular situation. It's very easy to do. Doesn't require a whole lot. You can just sit with your eyes closed and meditate and imagine a beam of light coming from your heart to that person's heart or to that city, and just shower them, like you kind of see it with showers of blessings and see golden sparkles falling on a city or on a person or on a situation, and just asking it to shift and to align with the highest and best.
And kind of in align with that, how about embracing divine feminine energy?
Well, now that divine feminine energy is what we really want to see come into balance. Right now, we've been very heavy on the assertive, aggressive, outgoing, greed-based. Like, all of that has come out and has dominated for quite a while in religions. You've had male pastors and bishops and elders, and women are just starting to be able to hold office in some religions. You've seen it in the political arena where men have outnumbered women in our elected officials. We've seen it in the teachings of the church where the wife is to be submissive to the husband in all things as the weaker vessel. So this mother energy is more others-minded. It's more receiving, nurturing, caring for others rather than the dog-eat-dog competitive world that we have been subjected to for so many centuries now. The divine mother energy is balancing that. It's where we have the give and the take and not just one or the other, but the balance between those two. That's called the matriarchal or divine mother energy or the divine feminine energy.
I've always said, if women ruled the world, we wouldn't have all these wars. I'd meditate,
because
we would talk the world to death. Believe in talking and expressing our feelings. And
yeah,
but I believe it's all their repressed feelings.
That's it.
Because war is barbaric. It's crazy.
It is, and it doesn't accomplish a thing. You know, a good sit down and talk and people being more in line with the divine feminine and saying, how can we work this out for the best good of all, rather than, it's mine, bam, bam, bam on the desk, you know, mine, mine, mine. Kind of like a child, you know, that we've got to have our stuff and have it our way and have it now. We're releasing all that with the divine mother energy. Because if you think about a mom, how nurturing and loving and giving and available she is, how she doesn't want to create, most women don't enjoy creating drama between their children. They're loving and kind and want the best for them. And that's the same way it is with the Divine Mother, always nurturing, loving, providing, caring for, protecting. I want to see more of that and less war, more peace and less war.
Yes, and I believe what we are seeing, there are a lot of women groups and blogs now that are addressing that. I'm just amazed at the number of communities that are cropping up online that are related to feminine interests, and I'm not in the way not the connotation that feminists had before, being, hey, we want everything a man has, but where people are returning to what is good about being female.
Mm-hmm. And it's not just women. I mean, men have a feminine nature and women have a masculine nature. We're looking for balance there where both are allowed to be expressed.
Yeah.
In the individual and in our society.
What are the ascension symptoms affecting humans physically, emotionally, and mentally?
How is what affecting me physically?
The ascension, A-S-E-N.
Oh, the ascension, yes. Mm-hmm. The ascension is the raising of our vibration and coming into alignment with the Christ consciousness, the mind of God, the heart of the goddess. And what this is doing is purifying our thoughts and purifying our ways, purifying our bodies, and allowing us as Christ Jesus and many other ascended masters to actually raise the physical body from this law of karma or sin and death, as the Bible calls it, into the state of grace that's already been given to us, in which Jesus said we would not taste death. And he was not talking about spiritual death, because the soul never dies. The soul is eternal. It lives on and on forever. He's talking about the physical body. He's talking about immortality. He's talking about being born again, born into spirit, not just into flesh, but into spirit, where the actual fleshly body is raised its vibration so much it becomes a spiritual identity, kind of like the spirit body that you have after after we pass from this body, if a body dies, and the spirit kind of does an apparition and you kind of see a ghost figure. Well, the ascended masters who have purified and mastered their thoughts and mastered the urges of the ego and have put that like under their feet, as the Bible talks about, putting that under the feet. In other words, they controlled it so much that their bodies have ascended and have come into alignment with the God self, and is able to express by bilocating, that means being in two places at the same time, or being in this body at this time and another body at another time, appearing, walking through walls like Jesus did in his light body, walking on water, appearing out of thin air, disappearing from one place, reappearing in another place. These are some of the things that a light body or an ascended master can do. And I believe that that opportunity is available to us, but it requires us to get things out of the way, to heal what needs to be healed, and to let go of the things that are holding us back, and just allow spirit to become so ingrained in our habits, in our thoughts, our emotions, and our practices, and what we do, and how we live our lives, so that we become the presence of God in human form. I know it's far-fetched, but the Bible talks about it repeatedly, over and over. I'm seeing the Bible with fresh eyes like never before.
Okay, so that explains what the ascension is as well then. But how about the walk-in soul?
Well, the walk-in soul is one that walks into an adult body instead of being born in the body. You know, most of the time, a soul comes into the body when a baby is born. Well, sometimes people have near-death experiences, or they they try to commit suicide or something like that. And at that time, they have pretty much said to the universe, I'm done with this earth life. I want, you know, they're bringing in death early, and instead of wasting the body through a physical death, a new soul, a replacement soul, which is many times a higher version or a more evolved version of that same soul, comes into the body and picks up the pieces where the first soul left off. So it's called a soul exchange or a soul walk-in. It's just, I think it's a very good use of human resources if a soul is done. If it's made the progress it intended to make on this earth, it may, opt for that. It's always agreed upon before incarnation. It's not something that you just say one day, oh, I think I'll have a walk-in. It's something that is set up and the circumstances are arranged ahead of time so that the soul exchange can occur. It's done with permission. Like I said, it's never forced upon you. It's not a possession. It's just a swap over of energy, because that's all the soul is. The soul is energy. We're just swapping one energy for another energy.
And you know what is the real proof of that is when a person dies that you love, how they stay in your thoughts and in your memory as though they're still alive.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, some people see them, like your granddaughter.
Yes, because it was because our neighbor had died, and she told her husband, she told the neighbor, your husband, he's here. And she was five then, and I know in my case, my mother, several members told me they saw her after she died, but I see her in my dreams. But it's the thing she said, like recently I was telling my family, my mother wasn't educated in the traditional sense of college and like that, but very wise. And one of the things she said is that people appreciate what they do for themselves, you know, just because they were complaining, oh, we bought him this car and he tore it up within 3 months. Well, that was my mother saying. With her having seven children, she couldn't afford to give that type of thing. And so, you know, now I have a brother with four McDonald's, and everyone has, you know, achieved higher than what the average person in our neighborhood did. And that had a lot to do with her thing of teaching you to be self-sufficient. And that is something that I think we're losing, too, in this generation, that too many parents are mistaking entitlement, and that the children, that they have to hand them and buy and spend the most expensive instead of teaching them lessons that will make them resilient and bulletproof through life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Teach them to manage energy, because money is energy, stuff is energy. You know, manage mm-hmm. it wisely, and then you'll appreciate it.
Yes, and just the fact that people, even when they're dead, they live on through, you know, you and their memories, and you hope that your children, that you will live on through them. So that's more and more, I believe, why the thing. But I'm still not clear on this walk-in soul. I know you mentioned it when you came on my show before that you had had that experience. Mm-hmm. Could you kind of explain how it happened to you?
Well, I had become very, very depressed. I was the empath gift that I had. I was picking up so much energy that it was just taking its toll on my body and my mind and my emotions as well. And I really became to where I wanted to be off the planet. I was like done with being here. And the event that actually triggered it caused me to actually pass out in the floor. And I felt like something was holding me on the floor, couldn't move my body. And at that time, I felt somewhat of a panic because I thought, oh my gosh, I think, you know, something weird is happening here and I don't know what it is and I don't understand it. And at the same time, I felt a calmness, a peacefulness, and like just that everything was going to be okay and that this is fine and that, you know, this is for your own good. And I relaxed and allowed it. Well, when I got up, when I was finally released and could get up, I felt like a totally different person. I knew something had happened. And the way that things shook out after that, I knew that something had occurred. I kept thinking, I feel like I died and came back as a different person. And I didn't know at the time what a walk-in was. But that's the way it felt to me. Mm. And the next morning, I got up and left a 22-year marriage. I mean, I had wanted to do that probably for many years before that. But I had the courage that day. It's like I had this new strength and a new energy and a new understanding about life. And I got up and left that marriage. I left organized religion. I left my job. Everything changed for me. I started this new path of spirituality, and I knew that something had happened. And it wasn't for several years after that that I learned the term about walk-in or soul exchange. And even since then, last August, when I was writing this book, I had an experience in which I felt an overshadowing of a higher presence that stayed with me for about 12 days. Ecstatic bliss, just absolutely wonderful joy, just total peace and bliss. And that really triggered some phenomenal changes again for me. I don't call that one a walk-in. It was more like an overlighting of the oversoul that allowed me to begin to transition and to take some big steps on the path to you know, becoming whole and hopefully on the path of ascension to becoming that light body.
Well, we're coming up on the top of the hour, so I'd like you to give out your website, your contact information for those who would like you to coach them in
sure.
this spiritual awakening, and also where your books are available.
Okay, well, everything is located at one website, and that's weareoneinspirit.com. That's the number one, weareoneinspirit.com. There's a bookstore there. It has a list of all the books that I've written. There's a tab that you can click to find me as a personal coach to help you sort out some things that maybe have occurred for you that you don't understand and maybe need some help processing. There are audios and videos there. You can access all of my blogs and more information on the topics of my books. So just go to weareoneinspirit.com and you'll find a lot of information.
And how about your editorial website?
Well, that's writersinthesky.com. And that is a service that offers writing, ghostwriting, editing, developmental editing, copy editing, as well as some help to bringing a book to market from conception all the way to the promoting the book once it's published. So that's writersinthesky.com.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Yvonne, for coming on the show. This has been great. And I wanted you, well, we have maybe a minute or so. Can you talk a little bit about how you publish your book? Did you go to a publisher or self-publish?
No, I self-published through CreateSpace, which is a company that is owned by Amazon.com. It allows you to be able to upload your manuscript that you have formatted and upload a cover, or you can choose their template. And once you have approved your final copy, you can actually print the book and get it in your hand and see what it looks like and make any changes you want to make. Then once you approve the final copy, it's only a few days before it's out there on Amazon for sale. It's a very easy process. CreateSpace.com is the place where you'll be able to learn more about that, and you can actually get somebody on the phone to talk to them and they'll help you walk through the process of self-publishing your own book.
And how about Kindle? Do you have form? I mean, the ebook form on Kindle?
I sure do. That one is published through Amazon as well. Amazon has a way that you can do that, and you can actually get the. I've actually published some MP3 files and things that support the text of the book. There's like audios on Ascension, and there's. Music that I've created to go with meditation. So all of that's available through CreateSpace and through Amazon. They call it their Kindle Direct Publishing, or KDP.
Okay, and how about your radio show? You also have a radio show. Please give that information out.
That's weareoneinspirit.com as well. You'll find the podcast on the website. And we've got shows all the way back to 2006 on topics like we've discussed tonight.
Okay, well, I wish you all the best with your book, and you're also on your blog tour, right?
Yes, the blog tour's in June, and then we're having a telesummit in July to teach Ascension training and how to make the process more easy.
Okay, well.
Thank you so much.
Continued success. Oh, you're welcome, and I'll be in touch with you, Yvonne.
Okay, blessings.
All right, same to you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Please turn next week to the Dr. Maxine Thompson Show. I will see you next week. Love you all.